Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer, and I'm your host, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us today, September 22nd, 2011. We have a great guest today, author Amy Taylor, who wrote Thought Watching, How to Feel Good No Matter What's Going On. And I really love this book because I believe that a lot of our lessons and our growth can come down to some of the most simplest and basic universal principles and truths, and one of them being mindfulness, one of them being watching and being conscious and responsible for what we do, what we say, what we feel, and yeah, it throws a lot of responsibility on us individually, but for ourselves and for what we resonate and put out there in the universe, it is our responsibility. Do we want to throw trash or do we want to throw flowers? And so I really love and appreciate this book and Amy. She's such a kindred spirit and sister soulmate, so I really feel wonderful introducing her to you, the audience. Amy Taylor, author of Thought Watching. Amy, thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today. Welcome.
Oh, gosh, thanks, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here. I love you. You know that. And and might as well just get it right out there. And I'm so nervous.
Oh, hey, you know what? You won't be in a few minutes. No worries. Don't worry about it. I love
this
book.
Well, I know there's no need to be nervous, and that's the whole thing. And so I've got to – this is my first public opportunity to walk my talk.
Hey, and you know what? Sometimes we stumble and we fall and we pick ourselves up and we walk again, so there's no worries here, no pressures, no stress. And I've loved reading your book, Thought Watching, How to Feel Good No Matter What's Going On in Your Life. Let's talk a little bit about what thought watching is.
Okay, that's a good start. Well, even though it's a book, it's more than a book. It's really a whole. It's an approach to life that combines spirituality, psychology, law of attraction, mind body spirit science, quantum physics, the whole shebang, everything that's out there. And you know, at the beginning when I was guided to write it, and I was thinking, well, gee, you know, this sounds a lot like Abraham Hicks. This sounds a lot like Mike Dooley. This sounds a lot like Greg Braden. And, yeah, it does. And then I was reading things that I wrote, oh, gosh, in the 80s when I used to give sermons and workshops at Unity Centers and I used to do stress management seminars. And it was like, oh, my God, I've been talking this stuff for this long and teaching this stuff. So there's nothing new under the sun, but the realization that everything that we do think creates our feelings, and everything that we do feel either affects our behavior or creates vibrations, and the
right.
universe responds. So that we really need to start looking at it, and then the thing I wanted to bring in that I opened my book with is that I had this wonderful client. I adored her, and we're still friends. And she was having trouble getting the idea that if she really wanted to change her life, she needed to stop focusing on what was wrong, but change her thinking and start creating what she wanted. And she was going to Weight Watchers. And so I was saying, well, you know, when you want to lose weight, you change the way you're eating, what you put in your mouth. If you want
right.
to change the shape of your body, if you want to improve your health, whatever, you go on a diet and you watch what you let in. And, well, this is a diet for the mind. This is where you become aware of what you're thinking and you think the thoughts that are going to produce the results that you want. And so she was the one that went, oh, so instead of weight watching, it's thought watching. Bingo. And then the rest.
Great the rest analogy you used there. Great metaphor, actually. Well, you've got, you know, it's such an all-encompassing tool, and yet it's very simple. However, for the average person who is not really conscious of what comes out of their mouth, it can also be very difficult because easier said than done, always.
It's simple but not easy.
Yes, it's a responsibility, and it's an investment to your integrity with yourself. It's an investment to what you're creating in your life, what you want to bring in, and you know, it's interesting you said that. You know, this sounds a little bit like Greg Braden. This sounds a little bit like Abraham Hicks. You know, there's no new wisdom. It's recycled wisdom all the way through this whole spiritual metaphysical forum that we all use. It's just how we all interpret it individually and who resonates to that message. And, you know, that's why I come back to this being such a wonderful, simplistic universal truth, because mindfulness, thought watching, it's something that really puts the responsibility back on the individual, takes you out of the victim mentality, and really makes you take some responsibility for where you're going in your life and what you're co-creating. So in thought watching, you know, I love how you have how to feel good no matter what's going on in your life. So how can we be more aware of our thoughts so that we can go into a good feel rather than wallow into a woe is me, poor me, victim mentality, that kind of mindset?
Yes, that's a great question. It's a comprehensive question. I mean, and in 3 hours you can just kind of say, Amy, we ran over. You know, but it goes like this. The basis of thought watching, I was trying to decide which way I wanted to answer this, but the basis of thought watching is four components, which are awareness, responsibility, intention, and focus. And the most important intention is I want and deserve to feel good. Now, I want to go through those four components a little to explain briefly what each one encompasses, but I do want to just preface it with this. The most important intention is I want and deserve to feel good. The underlying principle of everything is that we are spiritual beings having physical lives, and the most important understanding to begin with is according to your beliefs, be it unto you. And so taking that as the first start, and then just to be really clear, let's make a distinction between feeling good and feeling happy. Because originally I was going to call this book How to Feel Good, Positive, and Happy No Matter What's Going On in Your Life. And in fact, in my first chapter, I forgot to change it. So it reads that, and then it hit me that it's not the same thing. We can't always feel happy. Happy is a
elusive.
Fleeting. Yes, an elusive, fleeting state. And it's based, just like everything else, it's based on your perception of things, but happy is more of something on the surface. I don't want to call it superficial because words connote so many different feelings, and I'm certainly not bashing happy.
right.
But feeling good is more a case of feeling balanced and aligned with source, aligned with the universe, with your inner self, your higher self, connected, centered, peace, joy, contentment. That way you can feel good even though things seem to be bad. So just because things seem to be bad doesn't mean that you have to make yourself feel bad. And I'm going to throw this in. I wrote this book when I had a misdiagnosis of a misread mammogram, so that I was believing for 3 weeks that I might have cancer.
Wow.
And just by dealing with the fact that I didn't, by following the awareness, responsibility, intention, and focus, which I'm now going to get into, I was able to get very clear on what I was experiencing, what I intended, that it was only I could decide, and focusing on that, and that was the end of that. It turned out, as I expected, to be an error, or the universe changed it, whatever, but it was very empowering. But I felt good. I felt good. I didn't have to go into fear. Even though my decision, by the way, was, look, I can't afford not to work. I can't afford to get cancer. I don't have insurance. I can't afford chemo. This is just not going to work. Look, if I'm supposed to die, then that's it. And if I'm not supposed to die, then I want to live fully and do everything that I'm meant to do with this life. And it's either going to be or it's not. And I'll find out in a few weeks and whatever, whatever.
And that's right. I have no time for this. So
I have
you must leave this energy field. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So awareness. I'm going to start with the big four of awareness, responsibility, intention, and focus. And interrupt me at any point because I've been accused of not breathing.
Okay. All right. I'll take note.
Do you ever breathe?
Now,
Amy?
In regard to taking the responsibility and being aware, I know that there's moments where I occasionally walk through a fog and I'm not as clear as I, you know, want to be or intend to be. So in being aware of our thoughts and thought watching, do you feel that in general it does increase our own natural ability to be more aware and to be more conscious and connected to both society, universe, nature, subtleties, emotions? How does thought watching, becoming more of a thought watcher, change us internally or consciously, would you say?
Well, that's another really good question. The idea is this, that we're increasing our awareness, we are becoming more aware of what's going on inside of us emotionally and physically. And mostly we know how we're thinking by how we're feeling, because mm-hmm. if our thoughts are not working for us, they're going to register with feelings of discomfort, everything from the mildest discomfort to depression, anxiety, to physical illness. So awareness starts with, what am I feeling? What's going on mm-hmm. inside of me? You know, that's the whole thing, and that's where responsibility ties right in, because it's all an inside job. I alone am responsible for my own well-being, my own happiness, peace, joy, success, health. And when I accept that reality, I become empowered to start creating. So mm-hmm. That's where it's an ongoing cycle of becoming aware of, how am I feeling? What's going on? I'm not feeling very good. So it could be as simple as, I need to choose to think about anything that makes me feel good, because as soon as I start thinking anything, even I tell my clients, as I sip some water and I'm thirsty and the water tastes good and feels good, and I go, ah, I have in that moment shifted my vibration. I've changed my thinking even in that small area. And when you change anything in the system, because everything is interconnected, when you change anything in the system, everything changes. So it can be as simple as that. It's just anything to, gee, it's a beautiful day. God, the trees are gorgeous. I'm feeling stressed. I'm walking my dogs, and it's like, oh, are these trees beautiful? And in that moment, my feeling has changed. And then, so now this can go deeper and deeper. This can go into I'm uncomfortable. I don't like what's going on in my life. I don't like what someone's doing. I'm depressed. I'm angry. And then it can be, how can I change the way I'm thinking about my current situation, which always starts with me and I'm not the victim. And again, I'm going to go into the responsibility. And then another level awareness even goes deeper, which is, what is this kicking up in me? What am I really feeling? Why am I feeling this? What's it reminding me of? And we don't do this for the purpose of analysis or focusing on the problems. We always want to acknowledge what's going on so we can change it, so we can choose. That's a big word, choice. What's not working for us and choose what is. And then when we acknowledge what we call bad or negative feelings, we're not resisting them. We can decide how we want to feel, and we can start to use whatever insights we might get to change things. And, of course, the other thing is that as we start changing on a more surface level and things start changing more and more and our life starts changing, then the really stubborn issues are easier to see. And it kind of then makes that easier to go. And we still usually don't work with them by going and analyzing and focusing on what's wrong. We still always use it to look for what do we want, and recognizing our power to change things, which brings us into the responsibility of I alone am responsible for my own happiness. I'm the only one I can change. And Everything that's before me is about me. And they're all opportunities for growth. They're not lessons. They're not punishments. They're not some external deity challenging us. I can change the way I'm seeing it, feeling about it, responding. And it doesn't matter what has come before this moment, because I have the power to choose in the now how I want to feel, who I want to be, and what I want my life to be like. I have the power to change, and I can do it. And those are the self-talks, which go into focus. The next step would be intention. So what do I want? And what do I need to do to make it happen or allow it to happen? And that's where the first intention needs to be. You know, I want to feel good. I deserve to feel good. And so we just said, what does feeling good mean? Well, we've got that already. We talked about that. We want to feel balanced and centered and empowered and whatever it is. And how do we do some of that? Well, and the attitude of not a victim mentality, it's the things we say to ourselves. It's the talk, the self-talk. It's the putting the thoughts in our mind that we want to have there, because the unconscious mind is an amazing thing. It accepts everything it hears as the gospel truth, and it doesn't distinguish between whether something has actually happened, whether we're afraid of it happening. It doesn't distinguish between past, present, and future. It just takes it all in. So back in the old days when we used tape recorders, I used to say we can tape over the existing tapes. And the other really important thing is to start asking ourselves questions about meaning and purpose of our lives. What is the meaning of my life? What is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of human life? Spiritual beings having physical lives. And then I think of Viktor Frankl, who wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist who was imprisoned in the death camps during Nazi Germany. He lost his entire family. He lost everything. He survived. But in the midst of that horrific pain and suffering, and I mean that there's not too much that we can imagine that's as terrible as that, he found meaning in his life. He found purpose and meaning for the human existence, and found that it became an existential exercise for him, and his form of therapy is logotherapy. But he found that love was the most powerful change that there could possibly be. He said love is the ultimate and highest goal to which man can aspire, and in the most painful experience, life has meaning, and even suffering is meaningful.
Now, And I find that his work is something that is, it's actually a remarkable attitude, approach, philosophy, perspective, considering what he had gone through, and not
yeah.
not necessarily easy. I mean, say you have an average person. I mean, he's obviously an above average perceiver, aware individual. But what about the soul who really struggles with past abuse or past pains, past struggles, past the hauntings from the past, like they were really scarred from it, they were really abused. How can they excavate that to kind of move into an actual, hey, I feel pretty good?
Absolutely. That brings us into focus. So it's what thinking, feelings, behaviors will bring forth the intentions I've set for myself, bring the outcomes I want to manifest. Now, most people think of that as happy relationships right now, and they think of it as manifesting prosperity is very big on everyone's consciousness, but everyone's mind. But I, as a psychotherapist, I deal so much with people that have post-traumatic stress and we all have those horrendous pasts. And it goes, there's a couple of things. One is, of course, not to focus on the past, to put on, I call them spiritual blinders or thought blinders, like they put blinders on horses. You just don't go there. You know that song that Barbara Streisand sang, memories are, what's too painful to remember, we simply choose to forget. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we do. We focus on who we are now and what we want the future to be. We embrace the strengths, whatever is good from the past. It's accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative, because we're remembering that it's all about thoughts create, and according to our beliefs, be it unto us. And I could bring quantum physics in, but I think at this moment that would be bringing in another topic that would sidetrack. Maybe we'll get to that, because the observer effect and how expectancy creates. So it's still what we expect, what we fear is what we get. What we expect is what we get. If we're focusing on what we don't want, we're going to get that. If we focus on what we do want, we're going to get that. If we keep thinking about and talking about the way things were, then they're going to stay the way they were. So we don't minimize that, yes, you've had all of this horrible pain, and it's in you, but it's like, but what do you want to do about it? How do you walk in your future? If you're looking at the past, you're going to keep stumbling. It's say, okay, it did happen, and I don't want to feel that way anymore. And so you start choosing how you do want to feel. And something I shared with you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm just in going back to, say, an unresolved issue or something that's painful, could we use thought watching in that process of excavating the lesson from the pain, where we're not kind of bypassing the experience or really ignoring that, yes, indeed, this did happen? Because, sometimes there's victims, and sometimes people are abused, and that makes them a victim, and they have to kind of accept that to kind of move on from that. But is there a way that we can, encourage people who are kind of wallowing in an issue or an area on how they can direct their thoughts to look at it differently, or maybe perceive it from a different perspective to learn the lesson or to get some clarity, or even to neutralize the situation within themselves? So not that they're bypassing the whole situation, but they're actually utilizing it as a very poignant, powerful turning point in their life, or even looking at it and saying, wow, how strong am I to get through that? Or, wow, that really sucks,
yes.
and I'm really glad I'm here. You know, I mean, you know, there's a real,
yes.
you know, there's a real truth and a lesson in pain. And I, you know, I really bless my pain because I am not the person I was prior to my pain, and that what I have learned and gotten to, you know, has made me a better person. But, and I know that that's, you know, it's trite to some people to say that because it's easier said than done, no doubt. But how can we use our thought watching to take that incident and to learn a little bit or get some more clarity or, you know, lesson from that?
Well, there's a lot of answers. There's a lot of important things that you said. And I'm going to start with, I'm going to kind of do maybe some a mental PowerPoint, you know, or bullets in my own head. The first is that with thought watching, you don't excavate. You erase, in a sense. Now this does not in any way contradict honoring. Mm-hmm. I think that we are already honoring our past and our pains by who we are, and the lessons from them are coming up in every area of our life, or the truths from them. The strengths as well as the scars are showing everywhere in our life because they're affecting our thoughts and our feelings and our energy, our vibrations, and we can look at our lives and see in our lives what we're drawing to ourselves. And so the things in our lives that we're drawing to ourselves that we're not happy with are very much an inadvertent, at least, if not direct, an indirect response to the pain that we're carrying from what we've experienced. So, it's really like the tail wagging the dog. If we begin changing our thinking right now, because there is only the now, then it starts to heal those pains. And I was going to use the metaphor that I've used about the demons in the abyss, that we all have within ourselves an abyss, and with many of us it's really huge, and it's just filled with demons, and they torture us, and with our sleep, our waking state, the pain, the depression. I see it in my, I used to be there. By the way, nothing that I'm speaking of comes from theory. It's all from experience and lived it and having found it. Otherwise, it would just be like spitting
words.
In the wind.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Words. And you and I share in common a very low threshold for BS. And
exactly.
So, and, you know, I think the 11th commandment is thou shalt not BS, particularly not thyself.
I agree. I concur on that one, yes, indeed.
So I'm not coming from a pie-in-the-sky namby-pamby fairyland, let's just be happy, la-la, because that makes me want to throw up. I'm coming from I really do want to feel good, and I want to get rid of that crap from the past and just not have it haunt me anymore. How do I do it? And why, the way I do it is by focusing on what I do want right here and now. And what I was, when you start changing your consciousness and soaring, it's kind of like when an airplane is flying high and everything on the ground looks very small. And so your consciousness starts to rise higher and higher, and the demons in the abyss shrink, and the abyss shrinks, and it gets further away and smaller and smaller. And then you say to yourself, at least I said to myself, now what happens if things in life happen and I start to fly lower or even crash again? But those demons, those pains and god-awful suffering thrive and feed on the attention we give them. And so when we give our attention to what we do want instead of the pain, they die of starvation. And then we really are no longer, we know we're neutralized. The past is neutralized. It does. We can think about it, and it doesn't kick up memories. And we start finding ourselves feeling better and better about life, and then creating more and better life and happier life. And that creates better vibrations, and the cycle just gets more positive. And in my book, I have at the very last chapter, is Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, and it's 40 Tools for Choice and Change. So it gives really great ideas about how to start applying what it answers the question that you asked of how do we think differently and how do we do that? And like one of the, it says think thoughts that feel different from your current situation. I just said that before, a variation. If you keep telling the story about the way things have been, things will keep being the same as they are. And in the stories you tell yourself, you need to make yourself a hero, not a victim. You need to tell yourself how wise and courageous you are and then feel the truth of it. And you know, you might be faking it. Well, fine, fake it till you make it. You fake it, you conjure it up, you imagine it, you pretend. There was a wonderful song from The King and I, and she says, I whistle a happy tune, and every single time the happiness of the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, because when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold my head erect, and I whistle a happy tune, and no one will suspect I'm afraid. And what happens is you change. And this is what we're talking about. This is still coming down to according to your beliefs be it unto you. So you need to begin to take baby steps to change your thinking about yourself. I can. Not I have to do this. The simplest thing. It's time to take out the garbage. I have to take out the garbage. Change it to I want to take out the garbage. And feel how different the word makes you feel. Becoming aware of how we name things that really affects our thinking. It really disempowers the past. See, what we want to do is we want to empower ourselves in the present to disempower the negative effect of the past. And then what's left is the strength, because that's part of who we are. So we're choosing to keep that as part of who we are, and we're choosing to let go of the parts of who we've been that we no longer want to be.
Okay, one last thing is,
and creating mental archetypes. A friend of mine does what she calls cuts and pastes. She loves Kimora Simpson. Simpson. She's from Fat Farm. She was married to Russell, whatever his name. Anyway, Kimora is this fabulous character. And my friend just absolutely loves her. And what she does is she cuts and pastes Kimora over herself. It's kind of like using her as an archetype, as an example, as a role model. And so that's very, very powerful to start finding the best that we want to be and making our goals for our higher self, as our goals for our future self, as our role model, as our archetype, or looking at others. For years, the only way that I could function in relationships the way I wanted to was I saw myself as a combination of Sophia Loren and Audrey Hepburn. That was my feminine energy.
All right. Let's get back to focus on in regard to all right, so she's cutting and pasting this Kimora all over herself. Now, how about cutting and pasting our authentic self all over ourselves? Because
there's
some wonderful things about all of us if we can just, like, pull it from the depths of within to really not look outside of ourselves for it, but start to really, like, start with the most creative process I find, list. Make a list. What do you like about yourself? And then, like, expand upon that. Instead of putting it outside as seeing someone else as the ideal, what about starting to co-create that ideal within ourselves in looking at who we are as these beautiful, perfect beings with some, you know, some little crappy flaws we have to get through?
And you know what? The most perfect works of art all have flaws, because you must absolutely. Well, you know, firstly, I had said that is one of the things before I went into the archetype of external, is creating our internal archetype based on, yes, on who we, starting the day telling ourselves wonderful things about ourselves, feeling, first of all, feeling appreciation for ourselves. Looking for things to appreciate right where you are right now, and gratitude for yourself, and treating yourself gently, and believing in yourself as the unique and blessed, wonderful spiritual human being that you are, and glorifying in the fact that you're a one-of-a-kind person. You're a perfectly original you, and you're not a copy or imitation of anyone else. And so, and delighting in your own originality and telling yourself whatever good there is. But I know for me, I
and even your quirkiness. I mean, God knows we all love a little quirk.
Well, that's
so,
what makes
you
characters and wonderful. But you, but sometimes I want to talk about baby steps, and sometimes for the baby step to get to that, you, everything's perfect and okay. You may need to use an external focus so that you can start to feel better about yourself, to finally look for your internal focus. You
okay.
might be able to start right where you are. I'm not a list maker. You might be able to, what I like to do is I do a guided imagery with others, or I do it with myself, and I imagine myself as I really want to be and as I really know I can be, and I see and I get a feel of it. I actually let that feeling, and I have very, very short hair, and yet when I go into that space, I've got this long flowing hair that just keeps flowing out so wide, like one of these Indian archetype goddesses, the American and Native American. But it's just and then there might be the businesswoman. But it's whatever you see, whatever you feel, and then what do you want to feel, and who, and love, and that's something else, that being aware of what a loving person you are, and again deciding how you want to be, because I've often said I have become much more kind than I ever thought of myself as being, and it's because when I would deal with difficult clients, it called on me to become kind instead of take it personally and be insulted by what they hurt, what they did. I had to remind myself first, well, they're the client. They wouldn't be here if they weren't hurting. But that didn't stop me from taking it personally, because what it would do is it would kick up stuff from my past, kick up my own rejections or neglections or whatever it was. And so I just started seeing myself as really compassionate and kind. And you know what? That's what happened. I don't take things personally that way anymore. And yet I didn't do it by focusing on the problem. I did it on focusing on that solution. And I became the very thing that I wanted to become. So mm-hmm. you're so right. It's finding that within ourselves and telling ourselves that's who we are, and feeling it and appreciating it.
And what do you find in your practice the most difficult aspect overall for people to really that overall generically
I can answer you right away. Fear of change.
Fear of change.
Letting go of and you know, I always tell them, I have a limerick from when I was a little girl, and most people have no idea what it means, but I always say it. I've got to share it. At one point, I say to them, I eat my peas with honey. I've done it all my life. They do taste kind of funny, but it keeps them on the knife.
I go, what? Whatever works,
why are
right?
you eating them with eating your peas off a knife in the first place, and then you have to eat them with honey, even though that tastes so funny, just to keep them on the knife that they shouldn't even be on in the first place. And you know, and but that's the thing. It's like, but if I change who am I, I'm familiar. This is familiar. Yeah, it hurts and it sucks, but I'm comfortable with it because it's familiar. Well. If you don't change, you become like decaying vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
And change is the stuff of life. And change is just what it's about. So the important thing is that to realize, when you start doing that, then you can start realizing, well, I'm afraid of change, maybe because, maybe then you can see, well, because there's control issues, maybe fears of being a victim. And then you remember, you're choosing your change. No one is making you do anything. You are in control, you and God or the universe. I use them interchangeably. You can decide. You are not a victim. You are a hero or a heroine. And you can change because you can decide how you want to change and how much you want to change and where. And you don't need to do anything just because others expect you to. You can change your mind. And that's what it's about. You can just change your mind. You have the right to say, I don't feel like being this way. You have the right to say, you know, I told you yesterday I was going to lunch with you today. I don't feel like it. I mean, mm-hmm. take it to something mundane.
Right.
People do so many things they don't want to do because they're afraid to say, I changed my mind, because they're afraid that that axe is going to drop on their head.
That's or not. That they have to please everybody, or that
yes.
they everyone has to like them, or that everyone has to agree with them. And you know, that is really empowering when you get to a point where you're really comfortable with who you are and what you say, and you're working your life in integrity. And if the chips fall and you know that you didn't do it intentionally and you said nothing to cause any harm or foul, that if they're going through some rejection regarding it, that's their lesson to learn. It's not yours to teach it.
It's all of it's so right. You're so right. It's and moreover, it's one step at a time. That's what I can't emphasize that enough. It's a baby step. All you have to do, if you're walking along and you just take your left foot and you point it in a different direction, suddenly your right foot follows and you are walking in a new direction. It's just as simply as pivoting your foot. It's a simple little pivot into another direction, and it can be as minuscule as you want, because if you change anything in the system, you've changed everything in the system, because everything is interconnected. And that's the God's honest truth. So yes, absolutely. And by changing, you change your entire life one thought at a time, because thoughts create things. As Mike Dooley says, thoughts create things, and thoughts create everything.
And we have a question from the chat room here. Someone's asking that, could energy shifts also somehow be connected to this? As,
absolutely.
Okay, so go ahead.
Is there more to the question?
Well, this person is sick, apparently, has a cold, and I know myself, when I go through a big change, I go through, like, you know, sometimes I get sick, and I just went through a really hellacious flu bug, which I never, ever get, and yes, indeed, I am going through a big shift and change right now, and so I look at the two kind of conducive in regard to where I'm coming from, but I can relate to this a little bit. In where energy shifts definitely can help in regard to shifting our awareness, shifting who we, what we're focusing on, or even getting clearer about what we need to be thinking or focusing on.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'm an energy practitioner. I was the first certified matrix energetics practitioner in South Florida, but I've been doing energy work since 1971. And and that's where the quantum physics comes in. Absolutely. You start with this, is that everything is energy. Everything,
mm-hmm.
and we are made of photons. Everything that exists is made of subatomic particles. That's photons. That's smaller than an atom, subatomic. And photon is just pure light and information. And everything is subatomic particles. And when we observe what needs to be done, or we create a shift in energy and the particles shift, it basically collapses the wave function of the particles, and it brings about a different outcome. It's called the observer effect. The act of observing and noticing that a change is needed is enough to collapse the wave function of the particle, because particles travel, and well, that's a whole long story. We're not going to go there. We'll just say it collapses the wave function of the particle and brings about any number of possible outcomes and seems to nail it down. So by changing your thinking, you are absolutely working on an energetic level and affecting everything on an energy level, including yourself. And then your energy shift. Well, I'm going to take the next step. I want to just reinforce that with, if what comes to mind is that hidden messages in water, which was in What the Bleep Do We Know, that wonderful mm-hmm. book showing the effects of thoughts and words on water crystals. Now, we're 98% water. So what do you think our thoughts and our words will do to our physical bodies?
Certainly.
And then there's also the fact that since we're photons, I always say we're pretty much like on Star Trek, where they would go, beam us up, Scotty, and you would see everybody there like sparkling. That's one of my tricks that I use with energy work, is to see or to heal myself as well as heal others, and I'll pass this on, is get an image and a feeling of yourself as just all of these wonderful little, just like in Beam Us Up, Scotty, all of those wonderful little particles of light, just perfect. And know that everything is flowing together perfectly, and then release that knowledge. But then what happens is this. When we feel sick, sometimes it's what Joan Borisenko referred to once as New Age guilt. How can I mm-hmm. get sick? I'm enlightened. I shouldn't be sick.
I have a real issue with that myself. So.
Why have I created this? Well, there comes a time there was a commercial for V8 where they slap someone in the face and they go, thanks, I needed that. Well, there comes a time to give ourselves that slap therapy and say,
yeah.
Cut the BS. You know,
right.
I'm not, I didn't create this. Even enlightened people get sick. That's where the thought watching comes in. We think about it differently. We use our mind, sometimes we use our thoughts to dispute our erroneous thoughts, and we put a new belief system in it. And we go, and you know what, what's the worst? Maybe I need, you try on a lot of different thoughts until one feels good. Gee, maybe I needed this. Gee, well, you know, I'm clearing, so this is good. Well, but mm-hmm. I've got to be good for my radio show. Ah, but I will. The universe mm-hmm. will. I have no need to hold on to this long. This will be good. I think I'll let myself, like I used to do with people with anxiety, I would say, look, give yourself set a clock and give yourself a half an hour every day or once a week for an anxiety attack. You can't have it any other time, just at that time. And what would happen is after a while, they just wouldn't have it, you know. So it's like, allow yourself, okay, I get to be sick. Or if you suffer depression, okay, I'm going to stay in today. I feel depressed. I feel like crap. And I'm going to do it today. That's okay. You know, and tomorrow's another day and I'll feel good. Which you, if you don't resist, it doesn't persist. And so if you're feeling sick, you say to yourself, you know, the first thing is, like I said, is you dispute that, you use your thoughts to dispute the energy, the thoughts that you're having until you find one that feels good. And when it feels good, you rest in it. And because remember, your intention is to feel good. So your focus is then on that thought. So you just used awareness, responsibility, intention, and focus. You disputed your BS thought. You found one that feels good. And you go, ah. And then the energy shifts. And as soon as you felt, ah, the universe has gotten the energy of the ah, because the universe doesn't respond to the energy of what's going on. The universe responds to the energy of what we're putting out at that time. So even when bad things are happening, if we can just find a thought where what we're putting out is a vibration of ah, the universe will give us more ah. And then little by little it changes. And then it dies of starvation. It's not, and then something else comes up. That's why I said it's ongoing. It's just ongoing. We're works in progress. And it's just an ongoing thing, and we get better and better.
There's no mastering. You know, there's no mastering in life. We're all students. We're all teachers. We're always going to be learning as long as we're breathing. Even the ignorant learn. Well, it may be a 2x4 against the head, but somehow they're going to get it. And, you know, we have about 10 minutes. So I want to make sure that we cover everything you would like to provide our listening audience to, and also direct them to contacting you if they want to make an appointment or talk with you or anything along that line. So I just want you to be aware of our time, and we've got about 10 minutes.
Fabulous. Thank you. Well, we're covering, you know, I'm open. We've really covered important stuff. Let me touch on contacting me and whatever, do my paid political announcement, and
yes,
then move on from that. So,
okay.
So I can be reached. All you have to do is go to she says, all you have to do, and then I forget. Okay, all you have to do is go to thoughtwatching.com, www.thoughtwatching.com. This is a page on my website. You can buy my book there if you want to. My book is available on barnesandnoble.com, on Amazon, of course, and then through my website, where you can pay through PayPal. And if you don't like any of those options, I've always got loads of books here because people buy them. People buy 10 and 20 at a time to leave everywhere, I mean, in their beauty salon and in doctor's offices and waiting rooms. So I've always got them if you want to buy it from me. And you can email me. You can send me a prayer request if you've got that through my website. Everything you need is right there. Just go to www.thoughtwatching.com. You can contact me through that, email me for an appointment. My phone number is there. That's your one stop way to get me, and I'm available for in person, by phone, counseling, whatever you need. My website is going to be changed a lot because it was a lot more whole. It wasn't as much thought watching when I did it. I want to gear it a little towards this, but it's still a great website. It's a very,
great.
Very. It, someone called it an oasis of peace. It's a very nice website, and it's still applicable. But I don't practice matrix energetics per se, so that's got to be removed. I've been a healer for so long that when I first started out, I'm culturally Jewish, religiously nothing was what I was born, and then I came into a non-denominational spiritual Christianity, universal Eastern mishmash. But I used to say that what I do is the Jesus Christ do-it-yourself method of healing, and that's just you go into a state of focused intention that you want the highest good for that person. Then you go into a space within yourself, the deepest space of healing consciousness you can, and you release it, or you see what flows through you. You see what images, what intuitions, whatever you get. So it's all there on the website. I invite you to look, to comment, to whatever. That's it.
Great. And what would you like? We have about 7 minutes left. What would you like to impart to our listening audience in regard to thought watching wisdom?
Okay, that's really good. I would like to say, just reading from my 40 tools, I would like to just say a couple of them that I think are really, really
great.
Wonderful. And it's some of the most powerful things you can tell yourself are, I can handle this. I can do whatever needs to be done. I am strong and smart, and I'm ready to live it, be it, and show it. I am not alone. I am one with God, who inspires me and guides me to whatever and whomever I need to make me and my loved ones happy, healthy, and successful. I have friends and family who love me. I have angels all around me. And I have within me everything I need to rally over whatever stands before me. Now, you're not locked into past ways of thinking and patterns of behavior. Regardless of what anyone else says or does, you can change your mind. Remind yourself that the only thing you need to know is the what, God takes care of the how, where, when, why, and who. You don't need to know. You don't need to be, this isn't in the book, I'm just saying, you don't need to be John Wayne. You don't need to handle it alone. You don't need to tough it out and be strong and tighten up. You just need to know what you want and find the thoughts that make you relax, make you go, ah, make your body get loose. Whatever it is, you want to feel it. And know that then it's being done according to your beliefs, be it unto you. Whatever you really, really expect. I used to think that Dunkin' Donuts weren't fattening. I could eat as many as I wanted. And you know what? I never gained a pound, not an ounce. And I could sit down and eat a dozen of them. And I didn't think sugar was bad for me. My acupuncturist used to say, Amy, you're the only person I know who could probably live on pure sugar. It's amazing how your body metabolizes it. I said, to me, it's manna. And so, but it's what, until I started listening to what other people were saying, and now I can't eat Dunkin' Donuts. And so, but it's
that's
what
a good
believe.
Thing.
Only if you believe it is. Only
I'm
if you,
sorry.
If you believe
that crap's
it,
trash.
If you believe it, but if you don't believe it, if you really didn't believe it, if you really believed that a donut had within it everything you needed, because of the truth of quantum physics, it would be truth for you. And I knew it. There was this. Now I'm digressing, but it's important. There was this man years ago I'd read about, Padre Pio. I read about him in the 70s, who was an Italian priest who bore the stigmata, the holes of where Jesus was crucified. He actually, when he would go into prayer, he had the scars in his hands and feet, and they would start bleeding. And with him, his faith was that strong, his identifying with Jesus was that strong, that he bore the stigmata in his own body. And with him was this very Zoptic Austrian or that part of Europe, a nun, and she never ate anything but the wafer. This woman was Zoptic and healthy, didn't eat a thing, said she lived totally on faith. And I don't recommend any of us doing that because we don't have that kind of belief. You have to live within the reality of who you are. You can't pretend, well, I want to believe it, because there's so much affecting your beliefs. Your beliefs, most of them were formed before you were 5 or 6 years old, your beliefs about yourself. And then the media and the world at large and things everybody's saying are constantly affecting your mind. So I would add another, be true to yourself.
Be true to yourself. Trust yourself first. Amen. Amen.
And then just to close, because I see it here, I would always say, what do I want for myself? What do I want in this situation? What do I want to feel emotionally and physically right now? And then visualize your positive answer and feel as if it's happening already. And no matter, because of your connectedness with God and your interconnectedness with all of existence, every answer you seek already exists within you or will be brought to you. No matter what demands life places upon you, make sure that each and every day you savor something that brings you pleasure and makes you glad to be alive. And remember always, the universe is unlimited. There is no shortage or lack. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. There's more than enough health, love, joy, prosperity, happiness, fun, friendship, and every good thing you could ever want. The good that is there for you is beyond your wildest imaginings. So allow yourself to desire the best, expect the best, and receive the best.
That's a perfect exit right there. That's a beautiful thought to leave our listening audience with. Listening audience, thank you so much for joining us today on Unlimited Realities. Amy Taylor, thank you so much for being my guest today on Unlimited Realities. It's been a real joy to bring such a simple universal truth to all of our listeners and also to remind ourselves that we are in much more control of our destiny and our life in co-creation with Spirit to make the life that's best for us. And it is a mindful choice. And when obstacles come up, It's how we look at those obstacles to find the options and the opportunities from them, and as well as grow through the lessons that we are challenged in our own trials. So God bless you all. I will see you or hear you or at least watch you on my chat room next Thursday. Amy, have a blessed week. Again, thank you for being my guest. Thought Watching, everybody. Barnes & Noble, www.thoughtwatching.com. Amy Taylor. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.